Last week we started a new sermon series entitled So Much on the Line. So Much on the Line. This sermon series is so very important to me because it represents two things in my own personal life. I made this statement at Greater New Hope Thursday night. And the two things that are happening in my life is that there is a dying of another old man in my life. There is the dying of another old man in my life. And at the same time, there is the rebirth of a new man in my own life. And as a result, nothing can ever be the same. I think that it's critical that we take time to check ourselves, to make sure that we are who we say we are. Amen? The scriptures for this series, or at least for today, is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And the Bible reads, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking." Let me take a look at this. "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame.'" That's powerful. "And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." I want to bless God for all of our visitors that's in the house today. Amen. Didn't want to leave you out. Thank you. It's good to see you today. Amen. I want to try to deal with this as much as I can, but most likely there will be another conversation on these verses because I don't want to rush through any of this and we miss something. In the beginning of this book, Peter identifies himself as the apostle of Jesus Christ. He specifically mentions that he was an eyewitness of the transfiguration. Peter probably wrote this letter from prison in Rome not too long before his death by execution sometime during 64-67 AD. He starts off the chapter by saying, therefore, laying aside, chapter 2, by saying, Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The Amplified Classic Version says it like this in verse number one. So be done with every trace of wickedness, depravity, malignity, and all deceit and insincerity, pretense, hypocrisy, and grudges, envy, jealousy, and slander, and evil speaking of every kind. Now, I know it's a little dark up here, but in the Amplified Version, verse number two says, be done with every trace of wickedness. That word, trace. The word trace means a mark or an object or other indication of the existence or passing of something. Let me read that again. A mark, object, or other indication of the existence or passing of something. So if there is even an indication of the existence of envy, jealousy, slander, or evil speaking, let's take it deeper. If there is any indication of the existence of lust, lying, gossiping, claiming one way but acting another, be done with it. When I think about the word trace, the word residue comes to mind. Some of you might be familiar with that word residue. Amen. The word residue comes to mind. See, because you could get pulled over in your car and the police search it, and at first they find nothing at all. But if they just happen to find a crumb, just say a tiny piece of a crumb, I'm just going to be real with it how it used to work for me, okay? If they found a tiny piece of crumb of cocaine, you're going to jail for residue. But when the officer writes it up on the citation, it's going to say possession of a controlled substance. So even though it's just a crumb, now you've got possession. Listen to me. The problem in the church, especially this church, if I'm just being real, is so many of you claim to be cleaned up Christians, but when Satan comes to test you, he's able to detect some residue from your former self, the old you. There still remains traces of who you used to be that you're not supposed to be anymore. And the problem with that is when Satan detects that, he has something to work with or to feed on. So after a while, slowly but surely, you begin to recognize old thought patterns and old ways. Theologian Watchman Nee once says that Satan doesn't come and destroy you all at once. He does it day by day. And you're trying to figure out where this is coming from. Well, it's coming from the residue or the traces of the old you. So some of you might not know this, but a trace of cocaine is still usable. I remember getting pulled over, being home from prison 4 days. And I was flying down the highway, me and a friend, to go to a concert. And we had a convertible. We were in a convertible. And we were smoking weed. And when we seen it, we had got clocked by the police. We threw the blunt out, cut the air conditioning on in the convertible. Let you know that what we had was working. And we was doing all right during the pulling over, you know, doing 100 miles an hour, and they're trying to figure out, he's deciding he's not going to take us to jail. But then he looks over into the ashtray, and he sees this little bitty speck of green. And he says to me, and I have said this several times in my preaching, but he said to me, he said, you know, residue will catch you a case. And when I looked over at what he was looking at and I seen it, I was just like, surely we're not going to get hemmed up on that little thing. Let me tell you something. I said this at Greater New Hope Thursday night, and I'm going to say it to you today. It does not matter how small the sin is. I want you to understand the repercussions of the sin is colossal. It doesn't matter how little you do it, you know, I just partook in a piece of it. It does not matter the ramifications are colossal. I want you to understand that the moment that Satan begins to try you with sin, you automatically have been thrust into the fight of your life. And the reason that I say that is because Satan is a great war general. And so that sin that he has tempted you with, you understand what I'm saying to you, it's not to play games with you. It might look like it gonna feel good, but I promise you it ain't gonna be good. You understand what I'm saying to you? Anytime that Satan throws sin or temptation of sin in your direction, I want you to understand that he has a bigger plan than what you see. So even when you are dealing with lust in your own loins, the ramification for it is bigger than what you're thinking about. You thinking about a smooth night. You thinking about an all right night where everything went the way you wanted it to go. But Satan is thinking about, he's thinking about disease. Oh God, y'all don't hear me in here. He's thinking about your reputation. He's thinking about your effectiveness. He's thinking about when he brings this all to light, how it's going to take power from your testimony. He's thinking further ahead than just the moment that you see in front of you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you today? I want you to understand that residue is usable. And many of us are trying to figure out, you know, I'm going to church. I'm listening to the pastor. I'm hearing what he's saying. I'm not doing a lot of the things that I used to do anymore. But there's a few things that I haven't thrown away yet. And we don't throw them away because we don't see them to be that big. There's only two reasons we don't throw them away. We don't see that it's that big of a deal. Or two, we like it too much to throw it away. But as long as you have it there, watch this, it is a portal for the enemy to come into your life and just straight up destroy you. Lord, have mercy. And just like a hint, a trace of residue from former sins is still usable, so there has to be a cleansing. There has to be a vacuuming, a thorough vacuuming of yourself so that you don't get hemmed up on what you used to be. You know, let me tell you something. I remember people would be going to the car wash, and they would, everybody be trying to make sure that they car is clean and the wheels is shining and the chrome is on bling. You understand? But for me, for the lifestyle that I was living, I was more concerned with how the vacuum worked. You can have the pretty rims. I'm not trying to go to jail today. You understand what I'm saying to you? And since they're probably going to pull this pretty thing over when I push it down the street, what I need to know is that if I spend $1.25, because I will happily spend $3.50 to get a vacuum cleaner that is really going to get up everything that's in my floors. You understand what I'm saying to you? When they bring Fido, Get 'Em Boy, or whoever else to come search my car, I don't need him to find any residue of who I or what I was doing before they pulled me over. When Satan comes to your house, you want to make sure that your life is vacuumed of all the madness that you used to be connected to, all the pettiness, all the jealousy, all the hating, all the lying, all the lustful thoughts. You want to be clear of all of that, because if you're not clear of all of that, he can use that to lure you back in to a life of devastation.
So we got to make sure we're clean. Ooh. In fact, this is so serious that Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, he wrote, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Lord, have mercy. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Paul said, don't be just thinking you good because you feel good. Don't be thinking you holy just because you feel holy and righteous. You understand what I'm saying to you? And you think that you're on point. You'll mess around and find yourselves disqualified that way. Paul said, you'll find yourself disqualified thinking that you are somewhere where you're not. When is the last time that you done a serious look into you? I know you've been checking out everybody else. I know you've been in everybody else's business. I know you've been reading everybody else's Facebook posts. But when's the last time you had a real conversation with you about you? Lord, have mercy. When's the last time that you had a look into your life, into your lifestyle? I mean, do you still cuss? Will you cuss somebody out? I can ask you if you're still cussing. You can say, not in the last couple of days. But if I ask you, but if somebody rubbed you wrong, would you still cuss them out? Here's another question to pop off after that. It's on purpose. Do you lie? Are you lying about whether you would cuss them out or not? Do you lie, and do you lie for whatever reason? For whatever reason. Because some of us tend to believe that for the certain situations, you know, a old small lying too bad. But can I just go ahead and tell you that every time you lie, what you actually say is, I lack faith in God to tell the truth. I lack faith in God that he will actually forgive me for whatever it is that I feel like I gotta lie about. How many of you understand that predominantly, not all, but predominantly, all sin is simply a lack of faith in God? You lay down with somebody that ain't your spouse. You ain't married, but you laying down with them. Guess what? You have a lack of faith in God that he will produce the right one. Lord, have mercy. So I'm just going to do for God what seems like God ain't trying to do for me. And I'm going to just go ahead and lay down and we're going to make a relationship without God. Because it seems like God's so busy, he forgot to send me my husband. It seems like God's so busy, he forgot to send me my wife. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go ahead and up the ante. I'm just going to go ahead and press a little harder. And I'm just going to do some things that make me feel like a wife. Or make me feel like a husband. I'm a play married with this person. Better set your sinful, lustful self down. Have a seat. Grow up. Can I just go ahead and say that? We need to grow up in the body of Christ. There comes a time when you shouldn't just be doing the same old stuff that you've been doing. I mean, how long you got to be in church before you start acting like you got some home training? How much word do you have to hear? Better question, how much word are you going to just push off and play off because you're so caught up with your sinful self? There comes a time when the people of God have got to be the people of God. And I'm not worried about what's going on across the street. And I'm not worried about what's going on around the corner. I don't pastor them. I pastor you. And your weakness makes the whole thing weak. Wherever you weak at, you weaken us. And it shouldn't be because we have the word of God to teach us from these silly ways. See, once you know you're wrong and you keep doing it, you're just silly. Yeah. Anybody guilty of that today? Anybody got to say, I'm silly. I'm just silly. See, you shouldn't have to say that. You should never have to say that you're silly. Once you know better, the old saying is you do better. Lord, have mercy. So do you still lie for whatever reason? Are you still nasty? Are you nasty and you the only one don't know? That's the worst kind of nasty. They just feel like they just God's child. And wonder why don't nobody fool with you. Are you still nasty? Do you, oh God, here's a good one. Do you pick and choose who you treat with respect? Huh? Is the person in the church with a title more apt to get your respect than the person who just comes and sits down and never says a word? Are you better to your boss than you are your coworker? What determines the level of respect that you will give people? God said he's not a respecter of man. He said it don't make him no never mind who it is. If he gonna bless him, he gonna bless him. If he gonna deal with him, he gonna deal with him. So if God ain't no respecter of man, then what makes you think it's okay for you to be a respecter of man? It don't make no never mind if they got $1 million or 1 million pennies. They are still to be respected. It don't make no never mind if they walk in here with a suit on, or you understand what I'm saying to you, or a sweatsuit. They are still to be respected. I'm still asking questions. You still got lust issues? Are you trying to get men and women out to your house secretly hoping that it goes somewhere? Yeah. I need you to know one thing. I want you to tap into this. I want you to tap into this. God knows your heart. And you might be thinking you fooling everybody else, but God knows your heart. You cannot play God. You understand what I'm saying to you? You cannot finesse God. And you're trying to figure out why things aren't really working out in your life the way you want them to because you're still playing games like some child. God understands your heart. You want me to prove it? Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10. And it says, for he shall be like, that ain't the right one. That's 8 through 10. So let me read you Jeremiah 9 through 10 for mine. We're going to have to. Jeremiah 17 verses 9 through 10 says, the heart is deceitfully wicked, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Let me read it again. The heart is deceitful above all things. Stop trusting your heart. I just feel in my heart this is the one. You don't even know the one. The heart is the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Did you hear that? That's why you shouldn't be trusting that heart of yours, because it's desperately wicked. So if I can't trust my heart, what do I trust, Pastor? You trust the word of God. That's what you trust. You trust the word of God. And then it asks a question. Who can know it? Guess who answers? God. How do I know God answers in verse number 10? He says, I, the Lord. He said, I, the Lord. Guess what he says? This is for you who think that God don't see what you're doing. This is for you to think because you get past pastor that you're straight. You understand what I'm saying to you? This is you know, the one that caught you at the restaurant. You thought because they caught you at the restaurant with somebody that didn't look like somebody that was supposed to be with you, and then you told them whatever that you thought they wanted to hear. But guess what? Guess what? You might have got past them, but you didn't get past God. God says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And maybe some of you don't have what it is that you want because the fruit of your doings is foul. This is what the Lord says. He says, I search the heart. In other words, I know what you want for real. I don't care what you say, what you email, what you text, what you message, what you DM. I know what's in your heart for real. Lord, have mercy. He says, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways. Let me ask you something. Have you had some, and I don't mean no disrespect, I'm just keeping it real. But if you find yourself constantly going through hard times, what is the Lord finding in your heart? What is he finding when he searches you? He said, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I search the heart. You can say whatever you want to, but I search the heart. I know what's in you. I know how you really feel. I know what you're really thinking. I know what you really wanted to say. I search the heart. He knows what's in your heart, even more than you do. That's why David said in Psalms, in the book of Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24, he says in the New King James Version, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked in me, any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You catch that? He says, and see if there's any wicked in me, because guess what? I just might not know. David is real enough with himself to say, man, I can be a hot mess sometimes. And so you know what? And see if there's anything wicked in me. And if it is, lead me to the way everlasting. Show me my right from wrong. I love how the New Living Translation puts it. It puts it like this. It says, search me. Listen, David is telling God, he's asking God to search him. In other words, what David is saying is, I want to be so close to you, I want you to take a personal inventory of me yourself. Don't send no angel, don't send no disciple, don't send no prophet. I want you to check me out yourself. I want you to search me. Do you know what it means to search? It's looking up and under, it's looking around, it's picking this up and checking it out under here. It's not just coming through and saying, I looked, didn't find nothing. No, it says, a personal, this is an intense search. This is a look to see if there is anything wrong in you. And David wants to be so close to God, he don't tell nobody else. He don't ask his friends. He don't ask anybody, hey, man, how you think I'm walking? How you think my lifestyle is? How you think my heart is? No, he doesn't, because they don't know. He knows that he can fool them. But who I can't fool is God. So what I want you to do, since I can't fool you, is I want you to search me. And know my heart. I want you to listen to what he says. I want you to know my heart. I don't want you to be acquainted with. I don't want you to, I don't know what you to know what my heart looks like. I want you to know my heart. I want you to know the good, the bad, and the ugly. I want you to know it all. Know my heart. Try me, God. He says, test me. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Here's what I like right here. Verse number 24 in the New Living Translation. He says, get this. He says, point out anything in me that offends you. Ooh. Ooh. Point out anything in me that offends you. Now, Aaron, there's a problem there for the human. Because I want to be with you, Lord. But if you get to know my heart, then you're going to find that there are some things about me that you don't approve of. Woo. Now, before I can say, I want you to think about this, point out anything in me that offends you, I gotta be okay, with letting it go. Cause ain't no use in you pointing out anything in me that offends you if I ain't gonna do nothing about it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? See, I've got to let it go. Now, here's where there's tension in the text. But what if I don't want to let it go? So some of our prayers should be this. I want to be with you, God. I want, when you search my heart, I want you to find nothing, not a trace, not a bit of residue that will keep me from you. I want you to point out anything in me that offends you, but if I'm being real, this is still the prayer, but if I'm being real, God, I don't want to walk away from it. So if you could help me want to walk away from it. I know you can't make me. I know you won't make me because you've given me freedom of choice. But if you can show me why. Make your case. Make your case of why it's so much better to walk away from what it is that you've pointed out to me. That for some reason, watch this, and this is why you got to be careful of what you choose, because you can get stuck with your choice. How many of you have ever chosen something wrong? You knew it was wrong, and you chose it anyway. And then when you try to walk away from it, it wasn't as easy to walk away from, even though you knew it was wrong, because now you done got addicted to that thing. You understand what I'm saying to you? Can I just go ahead and talk real in this? Can I talk real in this building? All the babies is gone. Let me tell you something. That's why you got to, ladies, can I help you today? And I'm going to say this. Ladies and men who are loose in their feelings, you got to be careful about just laying around with folk. Because you'll find yourself addicted to something that don't love you. You understand what I'm saying to you? And you're trying to figure out, why do I keep going through this same old, why are you putting me through this? Why are you treating me like this? Why do you operate with me like this? And I just love you because what you love don't love you back. And truth be told, you really don't love it. You just love, it's just your lust being fulfilled. Oh, God, I know they don't talk about this in the pulpit, but we need to talk about this in the pulpit because 95% of the congregation in most churches is single. And we're trying to figure out why we're losing when it comes to relationship, because we're hustling backwards. You see what I'm saying to you? See, I'm going to trust God. And that was the deal. I had to trust God that Miriam was going to be, that she was on the way. So that means I had to say no to Nancy and Susie and Shonda and all of them. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because I'm trusting God that Miriam's on the way. You understand what I'm saying to you? He said that he would withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. So I have to trust that since I'm walking uprightly, that there is something with my name on it on the way. And when you can't trust God like that, you find yourself trying to create your own scenarios. So now the problem becomes the prayer needs to be, even though I like it, God, I don't want to like it because it keeps me from you. That's an honest prayer. That's an honest prayer. Even though I like it, I don't want to like it because it keeps me from you. Help me, God. And so right there, you get the chance to be all the way real with God. You get to say, this is not where I want to be, though this is where I am. Though this is where I am, this is not where I want to be. And so I'm calling on your help to stop me from wanting to be like this, because I know that wanting to be like this is keeping me from being with you. Listen, beloved, don't just agree with me. Don't just agree with me. Take this on. Be for real about this. You want to see some change? You want to see some difference? You want to see your dreams come to pass? Walk uprightly. Walk uprightly. I'm almost done. I know this is hard for some of us. He says, point out anything in me that offends you. And once you point it out, you better believe that I'm going to do something about it, because I don't, this is what David was saying, I don't even want a trace of residue of my old life to keep me from you. Verse number two of 1 Peter chapter 2 says, and I'm almost done, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Another version reads it like this, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. I used to sit back and say, there was a time when I used to sit back and say, y'all gonna have to start eating meat. But I called the dairy farmer and asked him, I need you to drop off some milk. Because the reality is, the milk prepares you for the meat. And what I'm starting to understand about our church is we ain't necessarily really ready for meat yet, because we're still rejecting the bottle. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's not ready for meat, but the reality is the majority of the church is not ready for meat. So because we still spitting at the bottle. Now if you ain't learned how to take fluid, Lord have mercy. If you ain't learned how to take liquid, if you ain't learned how to take milk, what make you think you know how to take steak? Watch this. If milk offends you, what you think you gonna feel about steak? If milk got you not wanting to come back to church, what make you think you're going to be running all into church next week for the meat of it? The milk is easy, baby. It's the easy part of it. And so I'm challenging this church to take your milk. I'm challenging you now to grow up. Spiritually, grow up. And when you grow up spiritually, you grow up, period. But if you stay immature spiritually, you're just immature, period. You see how that works? In the previous verse, Peter urged us, or his readers, to rid themselves of all sinful behaviors and the desires of the natural man. He said, lay aside all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. They were to strive for spiritual milk like babies. Every nursing mother knows the intensity of babies looking for milk. My grandson, he don't want nothing to do with me after he found out that these boobs wasn't it. Aaron felt me. He felt me. He clung to me. He held me. He even gave Granddaddy a little peck. But when he went down to the boob, he found out that I was not my leaker. And that baby didn't want nothing to do with me. It was intense, Clint. It was intense. It was just as quick as he loved me. What are you? And I don't want nobody to think that I had the boob out. Church folk could go make stuff up, amen. He just knew from the shirt after he got a real feel. That ain't mama. Every nursing mother knows the intensity of babies looking for milk, and they will cry because that boy cried until they satisfied. And experts have shown that a mother's milk benefits her baby in many ways, including, watch this, adding to brain development, promoting healthy weight, and bolstering antibodies. Peter employs this analogy to convey that as Christians, our overall spiritual growth and well-being hinge on receiving pure spiritual milk. But what exactly is this spiritual milk? The pure spiritual milk constitutes God's complete special revelation encapsulated in what we know now as the Bible. There's his milk. Some translations, such as the King James Version, render the phrase sincere milk of the word. The word can also symbolize Christ, implying that our craving should extend to a deeper knowledge of Christ and closer fellowship with him. In essence, growth comes as we feed on the written word and fellowship with the living word. The directive in 1 Peter 2:2 is active and imperative, signifying that it is our responsibility to yearn for the pure spiritual milk. We are to read, meditate upon, and study God's written word, both individually and in the company of fellow believers. We should also engage in communion with the living word and cultivate a deeper understanding of his person at work. Through these activities, we progress toward becoming more like Jesus in character and conduct, and we'll grow up in our salvation. Listen, I just want to bring this home. I'm done. I don't know why God keeps calling me to you, but he is calling me to you today. You got to read that book. You got to read it. You got to read that book. Do y'all hear me? You have to, and I'm not implying that she doesn't or they don't read the book.
But I'm telling you what you got to do. God says everything that you want, I know your heart's desire. He said, but everything that you want comes through me. And he says, and it's proven to be true because every time that you try to get what you want, it ends up in not so much. God says, everything that you want, Tiana, everything that you want, it has to come through me. So, Paige, in order to be this wonderful wife, you understand what I'm saying to you? He's saying you have to hand everything over to me. I don't need your help. I don't need your help. In fact, when you get involved, single people, you mess everything up. I don't need your help. I just need you to trust me and run it all through me. Once you do that, then what we're doing is we're sanctifying the process. You understand me up there? We're sanctifying the process. But I don't need you, nor do I want your help. It's time for this church to go from this number of people in here to double. Let me show you how that works. You start being the Word of God. You start eating that Word of God. Let me tell you something. Everybody that you love gonna get saved once they see you blood bought, sold out. Blood bought, so everything that everybody you love gonna be like, I'm going to church with you Sunday. Don't forget to pick me up. Once you sell out, God says, I've given you a special influence on people so that when you begin to shift and change for the better toward me, he says, when you begin to apply this whole thing to me, to your life, he says, I will show you things that you never thought be possible. I'll show you things you never thought be possible. He says, I know your deep down cravings and inner desires. I know them all, and I will show it to you. He says, but it's time for you to start drinking some milk. It's time for you to start drinking some milk. I love the fact that you praise and worship me. I love the fact that you sing out to me. But I got a cup of milk that's been sitting there for a while, and it's time that you partake of the milk so that you can get closer to me. You understand? It's not enough to say I love you, Jesus. It's not enough to say I love you, God. It's not enough to come to church. You have to take on the Word of God. And it don't make no, never mind how much you witness, how much you tell people about God, how much you talk about Jesus. If you are not taking that Word of God, if you are not taking this book and making, watch this, and eating it till it becomes a part of you, a part of you, to where when you begin to talk, you just talk scripture. You talk scripture. You talk scripture. When I'm in counseling, people always just sit back and stare at me because everything that comes out of my mouth is scripture. It's scripture. It's scripture. Why? Because don't nothing else matter. When you take this book and it becomes intimate to you, that you set aside time for it, and it doesn't make any difference. Watch this, and I want to challenge you. I say set aside the time that's most important to you. When your favorite show was on, show God, I want you so much, I'm going to read you during my favorite show. Because you're more to me than the show. My girlfriend, she got a good piece of gossip. A real juicy piece of gossip she's been trying to share with me all day. Been texting me all day. Girl, call me when you get home. Call me when you get home. But before I call her, God, I'm going to get into you. Because once I get into you, I don't want that gossip. Can I go ahead and bless somebody? You are as guilty for receiving the gossip as the gossiper releasing the gossip. The moment that you begin to realize that it's gossip, you're supposed to say, hey, hold on. I don't do that no more. Yeah. And guess what? It's still gossip even if it's about church folk. Oh, Lord. This is supposed to be your everything. People want to know how I went from Supreme to Pastor Lyons because this was my everything. I slept with this book. I've got the book, the actual book. You know it. It's in there on my mantelpiece, on my shelving. I slept with my first Bible in prison. I slept with it every day. I ate with it right next to me. Everywhere I went in prison, that Bible went with me because I never wanted to forget who I had become. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so the word was keeping me. And I was such a messed up, jacked up case. I had to have the Bible with me everywhere I went. If I went to gym, I took the Bible. Even if I was going to shoot ball and somebody fouled me the wrong way, I needed to look over and see that Bible and go, it's just a foul. Give me the ball. That's how it happened. People sit back and say, well, everybody can't do that. Yes, you can. If you can read, you can become at one with Christ. Yes, you can. You understand? And if you can't read, they got a Bible app now on your phone that it'll read it to you, the audio Bible. It'll read it to you. You ain't got no excuse. You ain't got no excuse for not drinking the pure milk of God. And that's what I want to challenge you with today. That's what I want to leave you with today. I want you to be better. I want to start seeing it on you. I want to see a glow on you that only the Bible can produce. There's a difference. You understand what I'm saying to you? You know how when you're pregnant, they say, oh, you just got that glow on. You got that mama's glow. That's true. You see, when you're in love and you just say, oh, you're in love, you got that glow. That's true. But there's also a glow that comes from being in the Word of God so seriously. And you know the difference between a studier and a reader? A notebook. When you begin to write that, I don't understand it. I don't care if y'all bring me 10 pages of what you don't understand. Bring them to me, and I'm going to give you every answer to what it is. You understand what I'm saying to you? We got pastors. Bring them to Sonia. Bring them to Larissa. You understand? Bring them to Miriam. You understand what I'm saying to you? And we're gonna break that thing down to the very last compound. You have no excuse. You have no excuse in this church not to be fully absorbed in the Word of God. And let me just go ahead and remind some of you as I close. That's what it was supposed to be anyway. You were supposed to always be all the way caught up with God. And despite what many people have went out there and said, you can have a whole life in God and still have a whole life, period. You can have a good time in God. You can be totally into God and still have a great life. It ain't nothing boring about it. It ain't nothing weak about it. It ain't nothing, you know, stale about it. If it's stale, that's because you stale. So it's time. It's time to start feasting. It's time to start drinking that milk. We're going to start. We're going to start right here at the basics. And you're without excuse. And I'm watching you. I'm no longer that pastor that we got way too much going on. I'm no longer that pastor that sets back and you just get to walk any kind of way in front of me. I get to see you on social media and I can't believe you said that. Those days are over. If you go to this church, you have an expectation of being a child of God. An expectation of being a child of God. God bless you.